Now, I wanted to look quickly at Isaiah 55:8. And in the New Living Translation, and, you know, with the many things that we're faced with and the things that we see, you know, the perversion, the darkness, and we say it's gross darkness and gross perversion. But God's body is getting greater and shining brighter and brighter and brighter in this earth. But the New Living, it says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, saith the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry." It is the same with what? "My word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." So God's word will not return void or empty. It'll always produce. And we need to remember that. That his word is what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. His word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:89. Hallelujah. I like the New Living. It says, "Your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in the heavens." His word is settled. It's firm. It cannot change. And so Luke 18:27, in the New Living Translation, and this is where I wanted to kind of pick up and start today. It says, "What is impossible for people is possible with God." So the things that we face that look impossible for us are what? Possible with God. Hallelujah. This is a complete Jewish translation. It says, "What is impossible humanly is possible with God." So the things that we face, the minute we face something that's impossible, if the Holy Ghost doesn't tell you to not, you know, the Holy Ghost may say, "Don't do that." That's why he leads us. He may say, don't pursue that. Don't do that. You know, sometimes people get in trouble where they say, "I'm going to go do that," and it's possible. And the Holy Ghost is saying, "Don't do that." And people will start and continue to pursue something to their, you know, either their demise or just they get out in trouble. Because the Holy Ghost warned them. But where God authorizes something, where it's part of our covenant, then what's impossible to us is possible with God. And what God has already paid for, you know, we can't control people. God doesn't control people. We have no right over a man's will. But I'll say one thing, that we have authority over who? We have authority over Satan. We have authority over demons and devils. And so you can't tell me that the things that have been perpetrated on this earth, you know, please don't say this is God's judgment. It's not God's judgment. He's not judging the church. And so for us, God is watching over us, watching over his body. And so those things that have been paid for through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then the devil's going to try to do what? Try to push that so that we begin to do what? Question, or begin to wonder, maybe we did something wrong. And he gets you to back off of your faith and begin to become and get frustrated. So one of the things, and I'll share this from the New Living, Proverbs 4:23. It says from the New Living translation, it says, above all, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. It says, guard your heart, for it affects, and it says, above all else, guard your what? Your heart, for it affects everything you do. The King James says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your, that's a Good News translation. And I like that. It says, verse 23, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. In the New Century, it says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. That's why it's so important. Guard your heart, guard your thoughts, because it'll impact your choices. It'll be in, and more than just your choices, it impacts what you say. It impacts your words. And so we need to watch that. John 10:10. And the Amplified, I guess we can put up the Amplified Classic in John 10:10. It says, the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. What I like the way this says it. You know, the King James says, the thief cometh not, but to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. But I like this. The Amplified says, the thief comes only to do what? He ain't coming to give you strokes. He's coming to kill you and to destroy you and to steal from you only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So whenever we're going through something and it doesn't look like that, we can begin to determine where it came from. And then if we know where it came from, then we know how to address it, don't we? And you know how your thinking should be. Wait a minute, this didn't come from God. So if it didn't come from God, then I have authority under the covenant that I have to do something about it. I can speak to it. I can command it to leave. I can cause the word of God to come out of my mouth. And I can guard my thinking and my heart. So that's what we should do. We should, when something comes, immediately, what does the word say? Not your opinion, not what the news says, not what your brother or sister in Christ thinks. Sometimes you need to remind each other, wait a minute, that's not what the word says. What does the word of God say? And we need to check each other. Wait a minute, what does the word say? And then based on that, then two of you can get in agreement. Instead of talking about it, talk to it. Get into agreement and say, no, we're coming against this. Amen? Glory to God. So Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please him. We want to please him. And we had put this up before. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. This word walk, I like the Amplified. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight or appearance. But this word walk, actually, peripateo, it means, this Greek word, it means to regulate your life that way, walk that way. It means to conduct, you know, your way. This is how you're to live. Conduct oneself. Regulate your life. Regulates one's life. That's what walk means. To make one's way or progress. So We're to do what? Walk this way, think this way, act this way. That's the way I should live. We don't. Sometimes we miss it, and we need to say, wait a minute. What am I thinking here? I'm not walking by faith here. Sometimes we think we are. But what are we saying? What are we talking? You know, sometimes, you know, there's some things just here in the ministry. You know, there's things that we have to be what? Just like you, we have a personal responsibility, but then we have responsibilities in the ministry. Just like myself, I have a responsibility. Deacon Esmond, Dan, other individuals in the ministry, Eric, they all have responsibilities, and they may be given directives to follow, but they have the Holy Ghost in them. We may say, do this, but then they have the Holy Ghost in them to give them wisdom on how to do that, you see. And so sometimes if you don't, and I'm sorry, Marie, I missed you. I saw you. It's over there. Marie's also has responsibilities. But you understand my point that we have the Holy Spirit in us to lead us and guide us, give us wisdom on doing the tasks or responsibilities that you have. And this is exactly what Joshua 1:8, we're to meditate in the word, not let it not depart out of our mouths, but meditate on it day and night. It'll give you wisdom on how to do things in your life. So we're to walk, we're to conduct ourselves this way. So when we find ourselves talking negative or talking about circumstances and conditions, then we need to stop and say, wait a minute, is that really what I should be saying? Should I? It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, but I need to say what God promised me. I need to speak that. You know, people have lost their jobs, people have had loved ones pass, and those things are difficult on the heart and the mind and the flesh. But we need to speak God's promises in the midst of heartache, in the midst of problems. You need to say, my bank accounts are full, when you've got nothing to put together in your hand. You've got to speak it. You've got to keep saying it and keep speaking what the word says. Because if you don't, what does the scripture also say? That which is without faith is what? Sin. So God is not pleased when we keep talking. I mean, we can go over to the book of Numbers and see how God felt about those that came back when he told them to go in and take the land. And they came back and said, we can't do that. He called it an evil report. So we need to get hold of our minds and our hearts and say, wait a minute, God is in covenant with me. I have a covenant promise, and this is mine. And I'm not budging. I'm taking this, and I'm going to have it. And it may take a bit. Remember, all things are possible. It didn't say all things are instant and happen overnight. But you keep speaking the word and it'll come to pass. So by faith, sometimes you've got to cast your cares upon the Lord. 1 Peter in the New Living Translation, 1 Peter 5:7. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Now, I want to look for a few minutes here. We'll look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. And let's look at the New Living Translation. It says, finally, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to do what? Strengthen you. To encourage you in what? In your faith. And to keep you from what? Being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did. As you well know, that is why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. So we need to, you can see here, they were going through some things, and this word afflictions, and actually in the King James it talks about afflictions, or in the New Living Translation it says troubles. In the King James it says moved by these afflictions. It just means pressure. You know, you're dealing with some pressure. And what has it done? It comes to shake your faith, to shake you. And you got to go back. Where did it come from? What's the source of that? And so we need to do what? I know for me, walking through these things, I don't know about you, but I've spent more time praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, because sometimes you don't know what to say or do. And so sometimes it's best to pray in the Holy Spirit and get your mind off of it and pray in the Spirit. Get your heart stirred up. You know, the more we pray in the Spirit, the more sensitive your spirit is to His voice, His direction, His leadings. And so that's why I say sometimes when you're confronted with all of these things that hit in society, maybe it was personal, maybe it affected you in all of his different ways, but praying in the Spirit opens your heart up to be led in a more direct, and when I say a direct way, your heart's more sensitive to be led, to hear Him. As opposed to when you have your mind on natural things, it can be more difficult. So we need to pray more in the Spirit. Take time out to pray. So the things here that Paul was talking about in writing to the church of Thessalonica, it sounds like, you know, when he said that they were appointed thereunto, and this is in the King James, he says, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto, meaning these afflictions or pressure. It makes it sound like God is giving us afflictions, or he's appointed them unto us. He's not saying that what he's paid for, we don't have to suffer or carry the burden of it. So if he's paid for something through his death, burial, and resurrection, then we need to do what? Receive it and not receive the negative. We need to receive healing. We need to receive prosperity. Does it mean we may not walk through seasons of lack or seasons of something going on in our bodies? It may, But what am I supposed to do? Lay down and quit? No. We're to fight. Fight with the fight of faith. Fight with the fight of faith. Now, Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord does what? He delivereth them out of them all. He delivers us out of them all. In John 16:33, in the King James, familiar verse, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have what? Peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He's overcome it. And this word tribulation, and I extracted this from Rick Renner's book, it says, it describes a situation so difficult that it causes one to feel stressed, squeezed, pressured, or crushed. It can be translated distress, affliction, or trouble. It indicates a level of intensity that is almost unbearable in the natural. So he's saying, you shall have some of this. But he said, be of good cheer, or that word cheer means courage. Be of good courage. What does that mean? Faith. Be of good courage because I've overcome the world. I've overcome it. So that means I can do what? I can stand in him and use the name of Jesus and confront it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4:17 in the New Living and 18. It says, "For our present troubles are small, and won't what? Last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." Verse 18, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Paul's saying, don't fix your attention on things you see. They're temporary. Doesn't mean ignore them. Do the things you need to do. But he said, don't get fixated on it. Fix your attention on his word. Fix your attention on things you can't see. So we have to believe the report of the Lord. That's what the scripture says. Whose report will you believe? Now I want to look and spend a few minutes here in James chapter 1. And I want to look at the King James and then the New Living. But the King James version of James chapter 1 in verses 1, 2, and 3, and 4. And this really, I think, is the crux of what I want to share here. It says, my brethren. So who's he speaking to here? The church, the body of Christ. He said, my brethren, count it what? He didn't say it was. He said, count it all joy. When what? When you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the what? The trying of your faith. This is what the devil comes to do, to try our faith. Try your faith, it says, but the trying of your faith does what? Worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, this is some thoughts and I'm just using this because Rick Renner is just so good at this. He said this word patience, and of course you can look this up in a more accurate rendering of patience is endurance. So this, and another scholar calls it staying power. So it's endurance, it's staying power, or a contemporary translator called it hang in there power. I like that. So your faith worketh what? Your hang in there power. Faith worketh endurance. Faith worketh something. It's your patience. It's your endurance. It's your hanging in there power. I'm hanging in there. I'm not just hanging in on my own power. I'm hanging in by faith. So this is the attitude that never gives up. You're hanging in there. It never gives up. It holds out. It holds on. It outlasts and it perseveres. This is what we're talking about. Faith worketh endurance. And we're going to need some endurance or some staying power as we walk through things in society and things that we see and hear and could be family pressuring and all of the stuff going on. You need to make sure you have some endurance. So it doesn't just give up or give in to obstacles and problems we face in life. So this is what he wrote. This word patience or endurance conveys the idea of being steadfast, consistent, unwavering, and unflinching. That means I'm not wavering. I'm not going to flinch. I'm going to be steady. Didn't mean it's comfortable to the flesh. Didn't even mean it's comfortable to your thinking. But God said it, and he's going to see me through. Come what may. He's going to provide the finances. He's going to provide the health that I need. He's going to provide. His word is settled in heaven. So this says here, it is the attitude that declares, I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under, I'm not budging one inch. Yes, I like that. I'm not going to budge one inch. This is my spot, and I'm telling you right now that there isn't enough pressure in the whole world to make me move or give it up. Yeah. I'm not giving in or giving up what God has promised. I'm not going to give up on it. See, and we need to remind ourselves, we need to stir ourselves up. This is the staying power. I have faith in God, but what happens? The devil comes with pressure and trials that cause you to do what? Begin to relax your faith, to begin to give up some room. Well, maybe. No, I'm not giving up one inch. I'm not backing down from what God promised. I'm staying the course. I like what Pastor Hagen says. I got a couple of wristbands. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. That's staying power. That's endurance. That's God promised it. I'm taking it, and I'm not budging. And that's the same thing when we come to the things that are going on in society. We need to take hold of the word of God and say, no, we're going to have peace in this country. We are going to have Christian values exalted in this country. We are going to have a revival in this country. We are going to be in unity with the body of Christ. What does that mean? That means when we don't see it, we need to talk that we're having this. We're not budging. We're not going to get into bickering with one another. We're going to walk in love and in unity. What? At all costs. So I will not be defeated. I will not quit. Right. Now let's look at James again. Let's look at this in the New Living Translation. So this is what he said. This is the attitude that declares, I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under, I'm not budging 1 inch. Amen. 1 inch from what? From 1 inch what I believe God for four. This is my spot, and I'm telling you right now that there isn't enough pressure in the whole world to make me move or give it up. I'm not giving up my confession of faith. I'm not giving up my confession of faith for my family or this country or this town that I live in. I'm not giving up my confession of faith. James chapter 1, verse 2 in the New Living, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." See? What's the opportunity? Great joy. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." See, I like this. When your faith is what? Tested, it's an opportunity for what? Your endurance has a chance to grow. So your endurance can't grow if you give in, give up your spot, let your confession go, let your faith go. Then your endurance can't grow. That's what this is saying here. Verse 4, "So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and incomplete, needing nothing." So that means, what does that mean? We're going to go through some things. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I'm walking through something. I can do all things through Christ. So we may walk through some things, but it's to do what? It's developing our endurance. It's developing this stick-to-itiveness. This what? This endurance. That's what it's developing. And we need to not let go. We need not let frustration or fear or anxiety or pressure cause us to let go of the endurance that's growing and developing. Right? So I like this. We used to say this. Let's say this together. God said it. That settles it. And I choose to believe his report. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So no matter what I'm faced with, I choose to believe his report. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I choose to laugh. I may cry and let out some things, but I'm going to laugh at the circumstances. I'm going to say, you know, it's an interesting thing. There were a couple of things that we were doing here in the ministry, and I had been getting some stirrings to go in this direction, and I pursued it. And I began to say with my mouth, it wasn't there, it was not evident. And I began to say, we have this. And the more I did that, God began to do what? Give me wisdom to do it. And when I started to do it, we began, as we did what? Take a step, move in that direction. Take a step, move in that direction. He began to give me wisdom to do it, and then we began to see it. And the things that we saw in the natural were not comfortable, but I just said, I said, by faith, we have this. So that's the same thing. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you have, could be a family situation, could be a health situation, could be a business situation. You begin to say, I have this. I'm going to do this. And you keep that confession of faith. And here's the thing, this same thing here. What is it? When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. God's going to give you wisdom through that. He's going to show you how to navigate it, how to execute it, and you will begin to see it and experience it. But see, the devil will put up some stuff here, and you go, maybe. You're weak-minded. You need to say, what'd I say? I don't care how heavy the load gets. I'm going to not move. This is my spot. I'm going to have this. I'm going to walk in health. I'm going to walk in prosperity. I'm going to walk in the blessings of God. What did he say? He said, I have come that they may have what? Life, and life what? More abundantly. I like the Amplified. They may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. If it's not full and it's not overflowing, we haven't reached it yet. That means we need to keep working in faith. We may need to press through some things. And it allows us, what did we just get done saying? It says here, so let your endurance grow. You know, letting something grow is not comfortable, is it? Most people don't like change. They don't like growth. And growth sometimes is harsh on the flesh. That means endurance. That means, how many like to endure going to the gym? But you sure like the results. You like the results, but you don't like the process. So it's the same thing. You exercise your faith. You don't like the process, the endurance, but you sure like it when the Lord says, let it grow, for when your endurance is what? Fully developed, you'll be perfect and incomplete, needing nothing. See, we like that. We just don't like the process. But as we're going through the process, remember that it's to do what? Cause your faith being tested is so that your endurance grows and expands. So just say when that happens, say, thank God my endurance is growing. Thank God my endurance is growing. Don't say, I'm enduring you. You know, say, I'm enduring you. Don't look at anybody. But you understand, we may go through some things that we may have to do what? Our faith is tested so that our endurance, our patience can grow. I know Brother Hagin said this. You know, you wonder why sometimes we mention him so much, because he was a man of faith. And he said this in his latter years. I'm just thinking about this as we close. He said, you know why? He said this to a bunch of ministers. He said, you know why I'm so steady in life? He said, because I had to suffer some things. And so he said, you know, we don't want to hear that word, suffering, but he said, what is he talking about? He had to endure some things. He had to endure pressure in life, and he stayed steady with the word of God, and now, because of that, he was steadfast, immovable. abounding in the work of the Lord. So don't give up. Stay steady. Let your endurance grow. Let it develop. Keep the word of God in your heart and in your tongue. Fix your attention on things above, not on things that, you know, things we see, they're temporary. Fix your attentions on things above. Guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart at all cost. Watch what you listen to. Think covenant. Think covenant. Think that these things have been bought and paid for. And things that come to steal and to kill and to destroy and rob you didn't come from God. And you confront that with faith and you say, no, this is my spot. I'm not moving. I'm not budging. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We need to all be reminded. Stay steady. You know, there's things that'll confront you personally, this ministry. You know, when you think about some of the things that, you know, the ministry has gone through. And it has to, you got to stay steady. Or you'll never reach the finish line, as they say. Got to press towards the mark of the high calling of God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for reminding us of your covenant promises. Thank you, Father, that our endurance is growing and developing. Thank you that it's being strengthened, that we can endure and face the issues of life with faith and confidence. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, those that may be here, and I know all of you here, but for the sake of those watching online, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you're not in a personal relationship, you're not in covenant, you may have believed that he came to this earth, you may believe that he came for our sins, but maybe you didn't ask him into your heart. Maybe you didn't, you believe it in your heart, but you didn't confess it with your mouth. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus here to this earth to redeem mankind, to shed his blood for our sins. I believe that he went to the cross, he took my sins, and that he took them and was buried in hell. And when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead to new life. And I receive him into my heart. I ask you, Father, that you cleanse me with your blood. Make something new of me in Jesus' name. And I confess now that I am saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer, they're putting some information up on the screen. And you can get in contact with the ministry. Let us know that you've become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, a brand new person. You made a confession of faith this day on July 19th, 2020, and you're a brand new person. You were born again this day. Hallelujah. Glory to God.